of the many classic carols we have just participated in, probably, well, many of them, if not most of them, there's a carol that came about in the 1940s that is not from Scripture. It's not taken directly from the Christmas story as we know it in Matthew and in Luke. If I were to ask you to finish it for me as I begin to sing a few of the lines, I don't think you're going to have any problem, and you won't even need the words up to repeat after me as I say, "Come, they told me our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring to lay before our king. So to honor him, me and my drum." There's not Scripture, but we find that Jesus often took parables and brought forth kingdom truth. So I believe that there's a valuable lesson in this carol that really is not spelled out. We don't know that this actually happened. A parable is something that is a story, so it may or may not have actually happened. But what we do have precedent for is in the book of Matthew chapter 2, there's the story of the Magi, sometimes called the wise men. They were the magicians and they were astrologers and they studied the stars and they saw the star of the Christ child appear. The Magi then brought their gifts. They brought their wealth. This is where we derive the tradition of what we're going to be doing today and tomorrow in giving and receiving gifts. It's because of the gifts that were brought to the Christ child. Not at the manger, but later at the house, the Bible says. These were very prominent men. They were involved in politics. They were involved in magic of their day. But one of their responsibilities was to crown the new king. So indeed, when they saw the star, they said, "Let's go up." And they showed up in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born king?" Because God had written the message of salvation in the stars. And they said, "We have come to honor him. We have come to crown him with the gifts that we bring." And with their gifts that day, they were indeed performing one of their responsibilities. They were crowning this Christ child king. So here's the poem of the song, the lyrics. If you take away all the pa-rum-pa-pum-pums, this is what it sounds like. "Come, they told me, our newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before our king. So to honor him when we come. Baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gifts to bring that's fit to give a king. Shall I play for you on my drum?" Mary nodded and the ox and the lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Oh, this one gets me every time. "Then he smiled at me." Me and my drum. There are 6 things in this short message that I hope to deliver to you this morning. 6 things that I see that are kingdom principles. First, come, they told me. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is always come. The Bible has many invitations. Jesus said, "Let everyone who is thirsty come." He said, "Whosoever will, let them come." The book of Revelation says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Our message today to the world is come. The essence of the gospel is come. In this parable, the drummer boy is invited to come with the crowd. But at a certain point in this song, it doesn't become about the crowd and coming with the crowd anymore. It becomes about him personally and his relationship with this newborn king. You can only follow along with the crowd so long. And then it becomes you and God. It becomes personal. Then you must become before him with your voice, with your gifts, with your worship. Number two, our finest gifts we bring. Come, they told me, our finest gifts we bring. The Magi in Matthew 2 were bringing wealth. They were wealthy men. They were bringing wealth. And the drummer boy in this parable didn't have wealth. And he didn't have the kind of gifts to bring that the Magi were bringing. How many of us today have ever felt unworthy to bring anything to the Lord? How many of us have ever said that line of that song, I don't have anything fit to bring you, Jesus? Do you realize that your finest gift today is the very thing that God has put in your hand? You see, in this song, the parable, the drummer boy realized, I have a drum. The one thing I know I can do is play a drum. So he says, I have a drum. And I am a drummer. And he gets the awareness, as all of us do when we meet Jesus. We come to the place where we suddenly are aware, this is what I've been given. I wonder if I could do this for him. And so the next point, number three, is shall I play for him? And he's asking. And at this point, he's needing permission. At this point, he realizes that he does have something in his hand and that possibly this could be used to bless the Lord and to worship the Lord. I have this. Shall I do this for you, Jesus? Shall I play for you? I can't get to this point in this message without remembering in the history of this church, when we were building this building many years ago now, a banker and his family moved to the Roanoke area and became members of Church Alive. A young family. We had just come through a long and arduous battle and process to build this building and occupy this sanctuary. At some point along the process, the banker came to us and said, Pastor Carrie, Pastor Vanny, I'm a banker. This is literally what happened. I'm a banker. I don't know if I can ever help you, but if you ever find yourself in need of help, please let me know. Well, we thought, well, we'll ask his bank to loan, to mortgage, give us the mortgage on the building, give us the construction loan. His bank was very conservative and would not do that for what they considered to be a young church. He stepped in when we asked him to, and he didn't try to take over. He never tried to tell us what to do. He just came and played his drum. He did what he could do. We were in need of a bank to consolidate the many different loans that we had at that time to build the building. It really took a long and arduous process. So we were paying on several smaller loans, but we desired to have one bank come in and swallow up all of those so we just have one mortgage. He came to us one day and offered to put together an RFP. I had no idea, neither did my husband, what an RFP was. It's a request for proposal, we found out. And what we found out is banks want that, and they want it in a certain format when you're asking for money. He came and got some information from us. He put together this RFP, brought it back to us, and suggested that we send it out to several of the area banks, which we promptly did. We began to get responses and phone calls, and they would ask us, who put this together for you? One bank even said, whoever it is, we would like to hire them. It was done so well. We went from a position of having banks run from us to having banks compete for our business. And the reason that happened is because a young man recognized what was in his hand. Pastor Carrie and Vanny, I'm a banker. Could I do banking for you? And with that one gift that he gave, using what God had put in his hand, we got the mortgage that we have on the church building now that we are paying off. Amen. We thanked him so much for his help, and he said, I am just here for such a time as this to do what I know to do. Shortly after that, he received a promotion and moved to Bristol. But God had him here and had his drum here at the time that we needed a drummer. Somebody say, rum-pum-pum-pum. We often do not think of the skills and the gifts that we use every day, even in our businesses, as something that's fit for the King. When I'm doing what I've been gifted to do, however, I am the best me that I can possibly be. Religion has dumbed us down and has made us think that we have to beg people to get involved in the work of God. But we are focused here in Church Alive on developing people who come to Jesus Christ, who know God, who find freedom from the past and from baggages that we've had, who discover their gifts and discover their voice, and then say, Jesus, can I do this for you? Number four, Mary nodded and the ox and lamb kept time. What's that all about? The parable is now expressing they approve of my gift. The nod from Mary and the fact that the animals began to keep time with his gift was the approval. When you're doing what you can do, things around you will begin to seem to keep rhythm with you. Some of you may have felt like at times that you're out of step with the world around you. Or you may even have felt that you're out of step with the church sometimes. But when you do what God has gifted you to do, you will find that people, relationships, jobs, things begin to line up around you that walk in time with what God's given you to do. That should bless somebody right there today. You're going to begin to hear and see the rum-pum-pum-pum around you. This is a church where gifts are recognized and gifts are appreciated for service. We've even developed a growth track this year where we encourage people to come through four steps. And in those four steps, and this will be starting right back up the first Sunday of January, the first four Sundays in January will be steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. The whole purpose of the growth track is to help you get launched in your spiritual journey to discover how God has made you and what he has put in you so that you can begin to make a difference in the church, in the community, and in the world. We believe in it so much. Why don't you make a decision, if you've never been through the growth track, to do that beginning the first Sunday in January? And then if you have been, you haven't locked into an area yet of service, why don't you decide that the 1st of January, I'm going to lock into an area of service in the church. I'm going to use my drum and play for him. Number five, I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. I love the fact that Mary nodded because that was approval. Yes, you can play, son. Go ahead and play for Jesus, son. And if any of you need a nod today, Pastor and I are here to nod. Yes, please do. There are ministries that are developing right now in the church because we're nodding at some people and saying, please go ahead and do that. When people are saying, I think I can do this. I think I'm supposed to do this. I think I'm supposed to start this type of small group. Would that be okay? You're getting the nod. Come on, somebody, look at your neighbor and just nod a big approval. I played my best for him. That was not the first day that this little boy had picked up his drum. You understand that. But oh, how he must have played on that day. We tend to look at others and think how great their gifts look. We tend to look at people who can speak and think, man, they're so eloquent with how they put the words together. We look at other ministries and say, oh, how fruitful that ministry is. We look at other marriages and say, oh, man, they seem to have the best, perfect marriage. What we don't see is what's happened behind the scenes. What we don't see are the years of practice and the years of labor and the years of perfecting and how long they used their gift the best they knew how. But as long as they were using it, God was perfecting it. And the longer they kept playing that drum, they got like Alex before long. They just kept doing their best. And through his power, their best kept getting better. So whatever you're doing, don't stop doing it. Don't hang your head. Say, I'll play my best for him. And then number six, he smiled at me. Me and my drum. That's me and my gift. He smiled at me and my gift. Where did the gift come from to begin with? It came from him. He smiled at me and the thing that I do. We need the smile of God today. Not the angry, disapproving God that religion has taught us about. If Christmas is about anything, it's about the smile of God. But what he did when he sent his son was to say, I'm sending him to approve of you. The Bible says that we are accepted in him now. I don't have to look for acceptance in anything or anyone else because I have his approval. Doesn't mean I don't like to get approval from others, but I long for his smile. His is the one that I want to see when I stand before him after this life. I want to hear the words. Come on, you know them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on, somebody. We live for the smile of God. And one line in that carol stands out to me. And it's the line that says, so to honor him. So to honor him. Today, what we've done in this entire service is we're getting ready to come together in communion now. What we have done is we've come on Christmas Eve to honor the Lord Jesus. Not a baby anymore. No, a resurrected Lord now. But we've come to honor him. And I want to leave you with this today. I hope that in all of your gift giving and in all of your presenting this week, that you will present yourselves to him. And I'd like for us to do that today. As we come to the conclusion in this service, we're going to receive communion. We're going to come together with Pastor Kerry and come to the Lord's table together in communion. But as we do, I pray that this will be a holy time where we present our hearts to him. Before we open a gift from anyone else, let's present our hearts to him. And just say this from our heart. Say, Jesus, say it with me. This is what I do. May I do this for you. I'll do my best for you. And nothing else matters. Say that. When I see you smile at me. When you hear words like it was unusual, we're not, it's, you know, your PSA is dropping like a rock. The doctor said at one point, and when the doctor says we're going to keep you comfortable, that's not a good diagnosis, y'all. We know that. But I believe that Mark really tapped into the miracle working power of God. And I'm glad. I'm thankful that he's cancer free today. I'm thankful that he's able to live. And I believe God's given him a long life now. Amen. I realize that some of you need prayer to get your life right with God today at this point in the service. And we're going to sing. We're going to worship with this song. And as we sing, we're going to be singing, I believe in the God of miracles. But as I've said, the greatest miracle, the most powerful miracle that can ever take place is the miracle of a life and a heart that is completely changed. Miracles begin with the miracle of your heart when it's been hardened by sin. It's been crushed by abuse and by rejection. God taking that hardened heart, that hurt heart, that torn heart, and washing it clean and making it pure and placing his spirit inside. That is the greatest miracle of all time after Jesus' first miracle. A miracle journey begins in our lives by us accepting Jesus, first of all, and saying, Lord, I believe. You are God, and you did come in the flesh, and you did die for me. And something happens. Nobody can dissect this. You can't scientifically define this. Something happens when you say that. And Jesus literally takes of his spirit and moves inside of you. There's nothing like it in the entire world. And all of a sudden, where God became flesh, now God dwells in us. We don't become deity, but he comes to live in us. What he did when he died is he removed all the sin barrier so that now he doesn't walk the earth in the flesh anymore. He only had to sacrifice his life one time and be resurrected one time. And after that, he says, now I've opened a way for God to live in you, for you to walk the earth in the flesh. While we're here, he lives in us so that then when we're out of the flesh, we'll be with him forever. I'm sorry, but that's the best deal I've heard in my entire lifetime. I'm going to ask if you will to bow your heads with me a minute before we worship with this last song. And I'm going to ask you if you feel that you want to pray or need to pray this prayer. I'm going to put some words together and help us pray a prayer. Several in the last service accepted the Lord as their Savior. And I'm believing for the same in this service. And maybe you say, well, I have prayed this at some point in my life, but I am far from God right now. Well, pray the prayer again. Pray the prayer with me as though you were praying it for the first time. God is faithful to cleanse you of all sin and all unrighteousness. And let me just tell you, he's in love with the backslider. God is in love with the one who has turned away from him. He's the Father that's standing and waiting and longing with open arms to receive you back. Not to count your sins against you, but with open arms to love you back to life. If you'd like to pray that prayer with all the heads bowed right now, I'd like you to raise your hand so I know who's praying this with me. I'm just going to be looking. Thank you. Anybody? Raise your hand. I thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else want to slip your hand up and say, Pastor Vanny, I'm going to pray this prayer with you right now. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with right now. We're all going to pray it. Anyone else? Let's pray this together. Say this with me. And let's help those that raised their hands this morning. Pray this, Jesus, please forgive me of all sin. I do believe you're the Son of God. Say it from your heart right now. I believe that you became flesh and you died in the flesh for my sins. Now I accept your miracle for my life today. Change my heart. Make me new. Put your spirit in me. And help me serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I am made new. Now, if you prayed that, celebrate together, Church of God. Right now, for those who just prayed. Amen. See, there's a miracle right there. There's a miracle you can grab hold of right there.